across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin and brought to you by Courier Newsroom. Carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Breitlow and it's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, July 19th, coming up this hour. Could the U.S. Supreme Court and other parts of our judicial system see some overdue change and reform that might make cases go a little more smoothly, maybe justice a little more swiftly, maybe without so much partisan politics? We'll see if that's even possible, talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel this hour. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of this week's big stories, especially the Republican National Convention. And once again, the media wishing out loud for a new and improved and kinder and gentler Donald Trump, who did not magically appear yesterday, even though they wished and hoped out loud as best they could. Dan Schumacher will join us as well to talk about sports. The All-Star break is wrapping up. The Brewers get back in action starting tomorrow in Minnesota against the Twins. Going to be nice to have baseball back. Pre-game tomorrow at 5:35, first pitch 6:10 on WRCE Richland Center, WRJN Racine Kenosha, WCQM Park Falls, WISS Oshkosh. All that at Target Field in Minneapolis, provided people's allergies aren't bothering them. Brittany Merlot is back with us here, and she is going to have a weekend forecast and a big box of tissues because apparently the pollen's back, baby.
There she back.
Is. She's
oh
got
my gosh.
It. How you doing?
Struggling a little bit this morning, but it's okay. You know,
okay.
Tissue on hand. We'll survive. We'll make it through. A beautiful day ahead. My goodness, just a little bit warmer too. Temperatures climbing into those upper 70s today across the state. Maybe a few 80s will be felt the further west that you live. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies. A few clouds building in this afternoon. We shouldn't see any rain though. That all holds off until tomorrow. The entire state will tap the 80s all weekend long. And we are looking at those scattered shower and storm chances in the northern half of the state tomorrow afternoon. And then it kind of shifts to the southern half and central areas for our Sunday afternoon and evening. But overall, we're still looking at nice dry days. And of course, a lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie, not real ones.
No. Please, no. But you're going tonight, I would imagine?
You know, I just realized, and probably thanks to Greg, too. I don't remember who told me yesterday, but it aired yesterday, so I went last night.
You did go last night.
I've seen it. It happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Welcome to At the Movies with Brittany Merlot. Merlot at the Movies.
Oh, I wish I had a theme for that.
I wish. Well, you could hum a little something. That's fine. It's time for movie reviews with Brittany. Yeah, okay. Anyway, moving on. What'd you think? Now, again, no spoilers. We don't want to know if... I mean, it's like a tornado watch to a tornado warning. We don't want to know if a tornado actually developed. This is concern about Twisters. So without spoilers, what did you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. Of course, I knew I was going to enjoy it because it's a weather theme. I'll love all of those. But when it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. I was very, very happy. There was only a few Hollywood moments, you know, for the cows. It's not the cows flying. I'm not giving anything away.
Okay.
But you know what I'm talking about. There's a couple of those. Mm-hmm. There's almost like an homage to the cow, actually, as well. So
do they, again, without necessarily giving anything away, do they like tip their hat to the original movie? Is there something in there where you go, oh, I see what you did there?
They sure do, which I respect and love. And they also tip their hat to real storm chasers out there.
Oh, good.
The professionals, towns that have been destroyed. So it was actually a really respectful movie. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I could see going to it. Again, I have somebody in my household who has a lot of tornado dreams. Maybe it was because she grew up on a farm. I'm not exactly sure. And she might prefer when it's on a smaller screen, but who knows? Maybe that'll be the thing that we see. I'm looking forward to it. If now having heard your review, I was on the fence, to be sure.
And you know, to be honest with you, it really helps too with people that are scared of storms. I know that sounds weird or counterintuitive, but you see it, it'll make sense what the storyline is about. But I can't give anything else away. Otherwise, that If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Well, that's the last thing I'll say is that with a lot of things where you're looking for the science of it, but then the storytelling gets in the way. For me, the classic example would be like Grey's Anatomy. And people say to Sherry all the time, you know, well, is it like that? And it's like, well, no, there's really not that much sleeping together in hospital closets. But if you're talking about the medical side of it, yes, it's true to form. So did the storytelling, the whatever, I'm sure there was romance or something, did that end up smothering, you know, the reality of the moment, or did they have a good storyline along with good, you know, special effects and things?
It was such a true storyline. I kept leaning over and being like, oh my gosh, this is what it's really like. Listen, this is how it really is.
Were you talking to the cat?
No.
Oh, okay.
I went with one of our other news reporters, actually, out of Wisconsin Rapids. We got together and we went and saw it. It was a big plan. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's a good review.
I did cue something up for both of you. It was just it's a lovely tribute to
all right
the first one.
Yes.
We got cow.
Another cow.
Actually, I think that was the same one.
Epic.
Look at this. Melissa K pops up on Facebook commenting, that was me. I was there.
Yes.
That's so great. Melissa also added earlier, the lasagna awareness count up. I love it so much. Please keep it up.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we're going to have to do something for the end of Lasagna Awareness Month now at this point.
31 days to really look at the topic and think about it. I mean, some people talk about elections. We're talking about, you know, others. The infrastructure is important. But if we're not talking about the lasagna and the awareness of, what are we talking about?
From Rob in Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 57. A very beautiful morning. Anyone going to EAA? The Highway 45 southbound ramp to I-41 is open and will be until July 29th, which I guess means that must be a construction zone and the ramp's been closed. And Rob, we're putting a lot of faith in you. I did not double check that. I didn't look for a second source. Don't ever send us a text that's pulling our leg, because I'm just putting that right up there, buddy. So I hope you're right. But you are going to EAA, Brittany.
Yes, I will be there all week, and I'll be talking to you guys, so you'll get a little sneak peek.
Wait, you're reporting from EAA next week in the mornings?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, do you like put up a tent near the runway? I don't know how that exactly works out there.
Well, we're going to see how it's going to work if it's actually raining, but I'm hoping the weather is going to be good in the morning, and I'll be different places throughout the grounds. So anything that's cool and interesting, or whoever is nice around and wants to talk, I'll be over there.
Nice. All right. We'll be looking forward to that. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate
You're it. You're welcome.
Have a wonderful weekend. The Up North News daily newsletter comes your way every morning at about 5 a.m. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. You can sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. She says in today's edition that the largest and longest running water ski tournament in the world is held here in Wisconsin. Tomorrow is the first day of the 2024 Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Championships in Wisconsin Rapids, held on the same lake there for 58 years. 24 water ski show teams and 75 individual skiers will compete for a state title and a chance to move on to the national championship. And she notes that in 2022, the tournament filled every hotel in the Wisconsin Rapids and Plover areas, bringing in nearly $4 million in revenue, and about 120,000 people around the world tuned in for the live webcast. So we've got that story in today's newsletter. Also a story on some Wisconsin ice cream shops, whether you've been to these ones or not, that are especially noteworthy, like the Sassy Cow Creamery store in Columbus. She's got the full list there. And a note about baseball history, 48 years ago tomorrow, Hank Aaron hit his final home run, number 755, at Milwaukee's County Stadium against the California Angels. So all that and much more in our daily newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. If you missed it during our last hour, we spoke at length about former President Donald Trump's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. And as always, if you want to listen back to any previous hour of our show, head over to civicmedia.us. You can find the stations around Wisconsin that carry Up North News Radio. Check out some of the other shows. Also, listen back to past episodes. Each hour is its own podcast episode, and you can listen back to some of our clips from the speech and reactions to it. We also spoke in the last hour about the global disruption of communications and other operations for airlines, banks, broadcasters, medical institutions, and more because a security patch for Microsoft Windows failed miserably, and has led to this global outage in places, not everywhere, but in many places and in many industries. So if you have anything to do with airline flights today, there's a pretty good chance you're going to find them delayed, or maybe some plans will be canceled as a result. So please be aware of that. And I'm sure we'll be giving updates on newscasts throughout the day across the Civic Media Radio Network. But again, the main upshot of the Trump speech at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee last night, closing it, is that the former president started with telling from a personal standpoint about last weekend's assassination attempt and started to sound themes of unity. For example, he said, "I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America, because there is no victory in winning for half of America." Sounds good, but again, what is your definition of unity? If it involves something along the lines of the compromises and the search for common ground that all the rest of us have to make in our everyday lives, that's great. Bring it on. We all do that. We're all grown-ups. We sometimes have to come together to get something done at our jobs or in our activities, in the groups we belong to. But if instead your idea of unity is continuing to browbeat, badger, and win majorities so large that you can ram through anything that you want to do, that's not unity. That's not governing. That's ruling. And those are themes that the former president came back to later in his speech as he rambled on for more than an hour and a half. More about that, of course, throughout the day on shows across the Civic Media Radio Network. But coming up next, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is going to talk to us more about the dismissal of the documents case against Trump and about President Biden's talk about reforming the U.S. Supreme Court. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
And money, Dad, get me out of this.
We're joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who also has a weekend show here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Amicus Law Review can be heard Saturday mornings live from 9 to 11, and then again on Sunday. You can learn more over at civicmedia.us. Mr. Santel, how are you?
It's always a pleasure with you this morning, lots and lots of things to talk about. Delighted to be with you this morning, Pat.
Yeah, we had you on a special earlier in the week to talk about Judge Eileen Cannon's dismissal of the Mar-a-Lago documents case. We'll come back to that. The short version is it's not going to be dead, but it is going to be significantly delayed as a result of it. We've had a Democratic senator from New Jersey, Bob Menendez, convicted on federal bribery counts, and I cannot believe more isn't being said about that. We'll talk about Joe Biden's package of possible Supreme Court reforms, but before we get to any of that, Jim's been listening in. He knows it's Lasagna Awareness Month, and believe it or not, Jim has a case involving lasagna.
Focused on bringing you the latest litigation news, although this is not the latest, actually. Searching, however, for things that are relevant not only to this discussion, but all your listeners. Believe it or not, there's a case called Lasagna versus Lasagna. Yes, that's right. It's in Berkeley. It's from last April. Went up to the Court of Appeals out there in California. I'm going to disappoint you only by indicating that it's actually not about lasagna, but it is about a family of people who are disputing a property and ownership of it, eviction and all those kinds of things, tenancy. Their last names, Lasagna. And so all the petitioners, all the parties in this, all their names are Lasagna. I was hoping it was going to be something more related to noodles and an Italian a delight, but in fact, it's about property interests. Even so, appellate issues involving Lasagna here on your wonderful broadcast.
I like that you understand a theme and are able to go along with it. And if we ever get an update on that particular case, we will cue up Billy Joel's Scenes from Italian Restaurant and we'll get into it. But we'll get to some of the other traditional news first as well, I guess. Let's start with the possibility of Supreme Court reforms. And for as long as Trump was first president, there has been talk about reforming the Supreme Court. He eventually got to appoint three justices. The six conservative justices that are now there have proven themselves to be overtly political in their interpretation of the law. And others have noted that the Supreme Court had been expanded before, say, you know, to match the number of federal judicial districts, or at least do something. And President Biden initially said he was. There was a little looking into it. There wasn't really anything formal that was introduced. So where does all this sit now with only 6 months left in his term?
Absolutely. So early on in Biden's term, as you note well, commissioned a study, sometimes a dangerous thing to do, right, especially with lawyers and scholars together in a room contemplating the future, but did this study and they came back and said, well, there's some options. If you want to do things, it was sort of milquetoast, went on the shelf and has been there presumably ever since that time. So just this past week or so, especially in the wake of this horrific catastrophic immunity decision, which is also a part of this, the president was asked about whether there was any interest, any movement on Supreme Court reform. And he dropped this hint that he is in fact working on a package of things. And those include aspects of this proposal, most of it legislative, that would do things like establish an ethics code, which again, on this broadcast, we've often talked about that, believe that a legislative action, some sort of passage of a bill or so, could indeed establish something if the Supreme Court doesn't do that. He's also talked about term limits as well. Now that's something that sounds like it's only remedied through constitutional changes because there's this reference in the Constitution to lifetime tenure through the good behavior clause. But there's also been some legislation introduced that sort of indicates, well, we'll keep you as a Supreme Court justice, but we'll just move you into kind of a different status and we'd have 10 or 15 year terms. That's apparently a part of this package. And then he's also added on this notion of making a constitutional amendment that would prohibit and eliminate this notion of executive or presidential immunity. That's also a very big lift, undeniably changing the Constitution, but it underscores, again, the significance of that.
Yeah, and because it's all legislative, I mean, you basically would need 60 votes in the Senate to overcome a filibuster. So all of that would be a heavy lift in and of itself. Of course, it is too little too late, given that there's only 6 months left in a divided Congress. But for my point, and again, I don't want to come off whining about this, but I want to say from a realistic standpoint, the time to do this wasn't after that terrible immunity decision. The time to do it was right after the Dobbs decision, when you had justices who pledged to Congress during their confirmation hearings that Roe v. Wade was settled law. And as soon as they showed that they were not, and as soon as the first reports came out of Clarence Thomas and others accepting basically bribes, that's when this stuff should have come down, and it's just been too little too late. And that takes me to my next topic about too little too late. And again, let's make the point here when we talk about Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, that much like with Hunter Biden and Al Franken before him, on the Democratic side of things, there is no quarter given. If you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. Unlike the way Republicans have circled the wagon around Donald Trump. And yet, you're still seeing that on the Republican side. Bob Menendez is defiant to the end, but he was convicted this week on bribery.
Absolutely. Bribery and conspiracy, extortion, obstruction of justice. The first sitting senator to be convicted in our nation's history of serving as a foreign agent. that's no small thing. And you don't have to be a lawyer or a judge or even a member of a jury to determine that for an agency. And so this is one of those situations where, again, rule of law. I would like to think there is one party that upholds it and says, you know what, we embrace the notion, as you just described, Pat, that juries make decisions, charges are brought by grand juries and by prosecutors, judges preside, and in the end, we embrace the system. In this case, once again, Bob Menendez found guilty in a compelling presentation. Lots and lots of criminal behavior here. His wife also still out there facing a charges as well. He needs, of course, to resign from the Senate now. Probably will do that. The New Jersey governor then can presumably appoint somebody in the interim. But this is no small thing. And again, as you indicated, many people are on the receiving end, if you will, of charges. And what we do is we let the system play out. We don't cry. We don't gnash our teeth about some unfair witch hunt. We let the system go.
Yes, exactly. And again, I just find it astounding that national media isn't covering this. This is a very big deal and deserves more. We've got 60 seconds left, so not nearly enough time to go over the Eileen Cannon dismissal. So why don't you start with that while teasing what folks will hear on your show tomorrow morning?
Sure, absolutely. So we now know that Jack Smith, the Department of Justice, has indeed appealed that ruling, that unsupported ruling, to the 11th Circuit. Interesting, he has not apparently sought for recusal, depending upon what they do. That will be months. There's no way this case is going to trial anytime soon, but it is still alive. It has been dismissed at the district court level, but will still be the subject of appellate review. We're going to talk about that. We're going to tell you more about the Menendez trial. We're going to talk more generally about lots of rule of law things that have happened while all the rest of us have been focusing upon Supreme Court cases, lots of other things going on in America, and the aspiration for justice in our nation.
Amicus, a law review, can be heard Saturday mornings starting at 9, live on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim Santel, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. All right, we'll come back with Mark Jacob right after this. You're up north. She was with the Russians too. I would never let Greg Bach down. If we're going to have Yacht Rock Fridays, of course, we're going to hear a little Michael McDonald. With or without the Doobie Brothers. Welcome back to Up North News Radio at 7:34 on this Friday morning, the day after the Republican National Convention wraps up at the Fiserv Forum and the surrounding areas of downtown Milwaukee. Former President Trump giving the acceptance speech, heading into the campaign now against President Joe Biden. Or will it be President Joe Biden? Will there be somebody else on the Democratic ticket come November? Will there be somebody else on the Republican ticket? Because Donald Trump's not the healthiest man. But more importantly, it appears a lot of delegates would vote for Hulk Hogan after the performance that he gave at the Republican convention. For that and much more, we turn now to our friend Mark Jacob, who did well to tend to his mental health given the media coverage of Trump and the Republicans of late. I watched Tommy Boy last night rather than a lot of the convention. Mark, how did you pass the time?
I made it a rule that if I'm watching MSNBC and I see Katie Tour come on and talk about how Trump has been humbled by this experience, that I immediately will turn off the television and put on The Clash or the Jayhawks or, you know, somebody else, some other band I like. And I feel a lot better about it, you know, and I still follow the news, but you know, you sometimes you just got to get away from this toxic environment. And I felt like what happened at the Republican convention was toxic, and it was not, I mean, they had a good time, clearly. I mean, it was, you know, it was great for them. It was terrible for the news media, Pat.
Terrible. Here's the quintessential example. And normally it's the New York Times, but Mark, you could sense heads wanting to explode when the story came out in Politico. The headline is "A Changed Trump. Some allies detect an existential shift after the shooting." And the lead by Natalie Allison goes like this: "In the days since he survived a would-be assassin's bullet, Republicans who have observed and spoken with former President Donald Trump say they have detected a new softness to the man whose brand has been anything but. I will try not to yell as I say this next part, Mark, but are you kidding me? How are we still subjected to stories about Trump is going to pivot? He's going to be kind and gentler and soft. And I think yours was the first post I saw that said, what editor, some editor had the job of letting that story go or spiking it. Right. And some editor said, run that puppy.
Right.
How?
No, that's the thing. I mean, I was, you know, I was in the news business for, you know, four decades, and I was an editor, and part of an editor's job is, you know, reporters aren't perfect, and sometimes they go off the rails, and they're trying hard, maybe. And it's the editor's job to say, I don't think so. This is not going to be good for us or you. You know, rewrite this lead, or the whole angle is wrong. We're not going to run it. I mean, that happened in a normal course of events, but at Politico, apparently that kind of thing doesn't happen. A new softness. I mean, that's not just a new softness. That's a new soft headedness by Politico. And it's just so embarrassing to see the news media talk about him being humbled or new softness, or, you know, this idea that I mean, we're not going to see a pivot. We might see, you know, very temporary kind of attempts to throw out some sort of like nicety that people can cling to pretend he's not this scary, really mean guy who wants to do terrible things to people.
There was never an infrastructure week. There was never a replacement for Obamacare, and there is never a pivot.
No.
If you just keep those three things in mind, if nothing else, that should tell you what a second Trump term would be like. We're talking to Mark Jacob. You can get his newsletter at stopthepresses.news, along with his Media Misses series that he does with Stephen Beschloss on a regular basis. How do you even pick topics for the newsletter and the video series this week, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I look forward. I mean, I am trying to prepare for a possible change at the top of the Democratic ticket. We'll have to see what happens here. You know, the thing that's kept me kind of sane about that is that, you know, really, no matter who the Democrats put at the top of their ticket, it's going to be better than what we saw this week. And, you know, so let's just see the whole process play its way out. But anyway, so, you know, I like to look forward. So I've been thinking a lot about Kamala Harris. And you know, the thing about her, Pat, and just a little sneak preview on what I might write is, and I've written some of this before, is that they never criticize her based on her policy or her performance. It's always this kind of petty, sexist, racist kind of crap. It's like, well, she's cackles, she laughs funny, you know, she... You know, and she oversmirks. That was one of the criticisms of her. She oversmirks. In other words, she's actually a happy warrior, you know, like Humphrey. She's actually a politician who tries to have some fun and not like demonize people and be mean. And, you know, and that's a bad thing, you know. And so, you know, when you say that somebody, you know, you don't like their laugh and that's the worst thing you can say about somebody, you know, you might really want to question what the person's motives are in making the criticism. So you're going to see if there were a change at the ticket, who knows if there will be. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of innuendo about how she slept her way to the top and all this other. You're going to see the most sexist, disgusting stuff you've ever seen. And, you know, we ought to be prepared for it.
And I mean, even at the convention, which, you know, again, there was this talk of it being kinder and gentler, but you could still get buttons and other paraphernalia with the phrase they've been having for 4+ years, Joe and the hoe must go. And they think they're so funny. They think it's funny stuff.
Right. And Pat, they like, and I've been collecting these. They like say, well, she's unqualified, you know, and Tom Cotton, of course, called her unqualified. Well, let's just look at it. She was district attorney of San Francisco. Then she was attorney general of the most populous state in the United States. Then she was a United States senator who got 7.5 million votes in an election. And now she's vice president. And how is that unqualified? She's been in public life twice as long as Tom Cotton. So how is she unqualified? I'm trying to figure that out.
Oh.
And it's code for she's a woman and she's black.
Yes, exactly. And so there is this broader focus around Kamala Harris, and we're not going to get too deep into the political weeds on it this time around, and but the coverage of it is what is so striking, because what you could have again seen late last night, and I mean late last night, because Trump spoke till after midnight East Coast time, you could have just as easily seen articles about his cognitive decline. Right. And the rambling and the ongoing lying, not to mention being a convicted felon, a rapist, a fraudster, somebody who stole national security secrets, and he should not be in the race. And yet there's only been one person having a successful presidency who's been dogged like this. And I have to say, when we talk about PAC journalism, I have never seen a PAC attack quite like this before. And I'll get to the Democrats who are aiding and abetting this in a moment. But just from the standpoint of, we're doing the unfit for office theme on this guy, but we're saying nothing about unfit for office on this guy, is extremely telling, Mark.
Right. And well, I think it's media. Part of it is media going to the conflict. And there is not a conflict in the Republican Party. You know, they keep on talking about unity and all that stuff. Well, it's easy to get unity when you kick people out of the party that you have previously targeted for being hanged in front of the Capitol, or in the case of Liz Cheney, that you called for a military tribunal on made up charges. I mean, when you banish those people from your party, you're going to be unified. And so there's not this kind of, in media, they like storytelling, they like conflict, they like narrative. And in the Republican Party, there isn't a conflict, because everyone who's left in the party seems to agree that it's okay for criminals to run the party.
Let's get into something media related that was really eye-popping. First thing Monday morning, folks tune into MSNBC figuring they're going to see, you know, one of their signature shows talking about the opening of the convention and the assassination attempt over the weekend. And Morning Joe had been pulled just for a day, but pulled for, you know, quote unquote, breaking news coverage when there was no breaking news in the 36 hours, you know, that had happened since the shooting. Joe Scarborough came on the next day and basically said, do that again and I'm out of here. Right. But let's just talk about the decision to preempt your morning show for something like this. I imagine that happening with Today or Good Morning America or anything. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, well, hope it wouldn't happen, but, you know, it is. These big media companies are being run like businesses and they're not being run in many cases like journalism outfits. And NBC especially, let's remember that these are the same executives who wanted to hire Ronna McDaniel as a commentator, who Ronna McDaniel, head of the Republican National Committee, who was a co-plotter in the fake elector scheme. And they wanted to hire her, and the on-air talent threw a fit, and they backed off on it. So here they come. So they don't have no journalism integrity, clearly. And here, so they decide that it might be scary to have Joe Scarborough on. I mean, Pat, in journalism, if you're a leader, if you're a manager, you know, as I was at one time, the worst thing you can do is show a lack of confidence in your own staff. And say that you don't trust your own staff. Mm-hmm. If you don't trust your own staff, you shouldn't have that staff ever. And the idea that when a really important story happens, you can't put your main host on the air, it says a lot about you and your lack of trust for your own people.
Yeah, I mean, it either speaks to that they think there is a problem with Joe Scarborough and all the folks on there, or that they're the ones with the problem. And I think most of us are choosing the latter. The economy and the way that it's covered has also been, I think, nothing short of a failure. I mean, you noted, as did I, that folks on Fox News and others, as Wall Street marched into record territory again this week, 41,000 or whatever the Dow is at now, they're giving the credit to Donald Trump, thinking, well, he might be about to win the election, when the stock market has been going up the entire 4 years under Joe Biden. It's magical thinking on the part of people who want the title of journalist and are throwing that credibility away.
Well, let's really remember here that even if you believe the polls, and I don't necessarily believe the polls, but if you do believe the polls, which a lot of people in the news media seem to, you know, worship them as a religion, it's close. It's a close race right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at even in the, you know, you look at the battleground states and the polls, and it's, you know, there are a few points. It could go either way. I mean, to me, it's frightening that we're in a situation in which it could go either way with a candidate as bad as Donald Trump. I mean, that is a statement, and not a good statement, about the state of the American electorate. But this idea that you would have the stock market behave the way it did in anticipation of some of the party in power not winning when the polls are this close is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the credit normally would go to the party in power, which is the Democrats. And, you know, there's just a lot of things. I guess, Pat, one of the things I wanted to mention on this, in my segment here, is the news media let the Republicans lie so much this week about, you know, crime is out of control. Crime is not out of control. In fact, it's way down. It's significantly down from what it was in the Trump administration. So just letting them lie and not correcting it. I mean, the media needs to bear some responsibility for letting Republicans lie for 4 days and not correcting them in real time.
Yeah, not just that, but also that for Trump to say the border was safer. The border was quiet because we were in the midst of COVID. Right. Nobody wanted to move anywhere at that point. So the economy, crime, the border, all up and down the range of issues. You can find opportunities to correct the record, and they did not. And then finally, briefly, Mark, because I didn't watch extensive coverage, but did anybody do a credible job of bringing on what we would know of as mainstream Republicans? Were there sightings of Liz Cheney's or Mitt Romney's or Paul Ryan's or any kind of counter programming that way?
You know, I didn't see any of that. And that would have been really valuable coverage. I mean, if they'd tracked down Paul Ryan, anyone who was considered kind of a normal Republican back in the before times, before mm-hmm. Trump turned the party into a cult, that would have been, which, you know, that would have, there are two explanations for that, Pat. One is that the media just is going to take whatever is put in front of them, or the other thing would be that they, you know, that the Republicans were laying low.
Exactly. Mark Jacob, thank you so much. Appreciate that you watched as much as you did. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you later.
See you later.
Dan Schumacher is coming up next. You're up north.
I've been balling a shiny black steel jackhammer, been chipping up rocks for the great high.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Time for a little Grateful Dead on Friday mornings before we wrap things up. So, Dan, who are we spinning today?
Well, that's Pigpen singing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Pigpen, he was the original organ piano players, one of the original members of the Dead who died in 72.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
52 years ago. Unbelievable. Yeah. Dan Schumacher, executive director of athletics for Northland College, joins us sometimes from Ashland, sometimes from back down here in Chippewa, where he's in the basement of a place right now where the folks sleeping upstairs got home really late from Rockfest in Cadott, and I had to look up which band it was. It was 30 Seconds to Mars.
That's it. That's the one.
God.
Which didn't take the stage until after 11 last night.
That's
so,
the actor Jared Leto's band.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. And now I recall some social posts of, oh, Jared Leto is in Wisconsin or something. So
I saw pictures of him with, he was posing with people. I'm like, why is he in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. And now we know he's in Cadott.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, Shinedown is the main act. And
I almost said that band.
and then, let's see, who am I missing? Oh, Jelly Roll as well. So
okay, I was surprised on that one. Wow. That's who they're going to go see Saturday night, I think.
Okay.
There you go.
He's crossed over. He's country and Rockfest, I guess.
He's got a lot of appeal. There's the song right now about, you know, I'm not okay. I'm not okay, but I'll be all right, or something like that.
Right, yep.
It's a nice common man message that I think we all need to hear from time to time. Yep. Certainly.
Well, NFL camps reporting this week.
Uh-oh.
It's starting.
Here we go.
It's happening.
I was all excited about baseball being back from the All-Star break. He's jumping right into summer camp NFL. Let's go, baby. Oh. Which reminds me that where he is right now, your friend Kim gave us or lent us her cornhole game. We needed a couple of cornhole games for the big birthday bash. God, how long ago? 2 weeks ago now. Three. And I had to replace it because unfortunately the 5-year-old grandson decided to walk up one of the little ramps and crushed it. You know, because it's cornhole, they're on those little tiny stilts.
Yeah, right.
I'm watching the 5-year-old go up and it comes right back down. I'm like, no, buddy, that's not meant for you to
but
walk
she got
up. Nice,
she got replacements that are
I got replacements. I could not find the exact American flag cornhole platform replacements. And so I figured you'd appreciate the fact that I got her some shiny new Green Bay Packers ones.
Yeah, that's all we need is a little bit more Green Bay crap.
Oh, said the show's resident Bears fan. Speaking, and we'll go ahead and start with your Bears because your quarterback draft pick, your 83rd quarterback this century so far, signed a deal this week.
Finally, I don't recall. I never really researched why there was a delay in the signing. They announced
because it's the Chicago Bears. Yeah. He was hoping for anything, any lifeline whatsoever.
Yeah, they would screw up a one-car funeral, the Bears. But I'm just excited to have football back, to be honest with you. And with my Cubbies not doing too well, baseball's kind of low on the interest. But
I see the holdup was Caleb Williams did not want a franchise tag to be put on him as part of his contract, but the Bears held firm and refused, and he ultimately caved and signed the contract.
Sure.
For folks that aren't familiar with it, a franchise tag is something where if they put that tag on you when your contract is up, it's okay. We're not going to negotiate with you. You get this much of a raise. Right. And so you still get a very respectable raise, mm-hmm. but you could have gotten even more if they'd have let you walk away. So yeah, it's a weird little situation that they have there. And
I saw Randall Cobb retired yesterday.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, now he hasn't played for a couple of years here, and he says it's not a full retirement. He's just going to go broadcast games for the SEC network, I think. But, mm-hmm. you know, again, changing of the guard.
He was a good player. He was one of the few Packers that, you know, he was a good teammate, looked like, and, you know, him and Aaron had a good relationship when they're all at the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes to an end at some point. So
to everything, there is a season. That's right.
Are your Brewers doing?
Well, our Brewers start off 4.5 games in first place ahead of the Cardinals. They will take on the Twins in Minnesota. They'll do that tonight They'll do that tomorrow night. Where's my time here? There it is. Only a two-game series, yeah. Pre-game at 5:35 tomorrow, first pitch at 6:10, and then they'll do it at 1:10, right? Yep, 1:10 mm-hmm. on Sunday at Target Field, and then it's off to Wrigley Field to play the Cubs night games Monday and Tuesday, and then a day game on Wednesday for your last place Chicago Cubs as they start the season. But again, like I say about elections, there's an eternity. Anything is possible between now and the fall.
Yeah. So, well,
I'm trying to help here, buddy. I'm saying anything is possible.
Anything's possible. I tell you what, to regress a little bit back to the beginning with the dead, they were announced yesterday that they're getting the Kennedy Award.
Oh, cool.
They're naming members. They're getting the Kennedy. I forget the list of people. You could probably Google it and see the list who were named. They will get the Kennedy Awards, this medallion or whatever they'd get. And I don't even know. I wonder if they're going to perform.
Here we go.
That'd be make Phil Lesh back in the mix.
From the Washington Post, three artists, a band, and a building walk into the Kennedy Center. In an unusual twist, the storied Harlem Theater, the Apollo, New York's Gravitational Center for Black Arts that turns 90 years old today, is among the 47th class of Kennedy Center honorees.
That's cool.
The honors also include renowned filmmaker Francis Ford Coppola, blues rock star Bonnie Raitt, well-deserved, celebrated Cuban-American trumpeter and composer Arturo Sandoval, and the Grateful Dead, whose living honorees are Mickey Hart, Bill Kreutzmann, Phil Lesh, and Bob Weir.
Yep. I thought that was cool. Maybe it was long overdue. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Bonnie Raitt, too, is long overdue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. The December 8th ceremony will take place at the Opera House there, and the center has not decided whether there will be a host, because last year there was a host, but the year before there wasn't a host or something like that. Award shows are just so different than they used to be.
With that show, usually they don't perform like when right. Led Zeppelin got the award, Heart yeah. performed, and it's like a tribute. So
yes, and so we'll see who does the tribute.
I'll bet you Fish.
That'd be amazing.
Fish to play.
That would be
interesting. The Deadheads would go crazy on that.
I bet you would like that very much. All right, Dan Schumacher, thank you for breaking some news and the update as always. Have a great weekend.
Right, you have a good weekend now.
All right, Greg, we'll see you. Matt and Air on Air, 2 hours from now.
Indeed.
Be there. Thanks to today's guests, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher there, Jim Santel. Next week, we'll have Congressman Mark Pocan and Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project joining us. Thank you as well for being here. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm Pat Kreitler. We'll see